voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. Guillermo Mash here, welcoming you to our 1 hour Triumph of Joy segment, spotlighting Mr. Joy himself, Bill Kroninski, who was born in France to Russian parents and moved to the United States 65 years ago when he was five. He's the board president of Chico Housing Action Team, a local nonprofit providing housing for the houseless, a husband of 30 years, and a father of three. These lived life highlights were realized by Bill's exuberant passion for people, life, and the great outdoors. Our segment starts with Bill's middle child, Anna, describing growing up with Mr. Joy, followed by Bill sharing his experience of working in San Francisco as a contractor while raising a family of three with his wife, Kim, in Chico, California, 160 miles away. I know you mentioned growing up with Mr. Joy. Maybe give us some insights about your family life growing up with your dad.
Well, my dad is the most energetic person I think I've ever met. And I think how that really manifested in our family was, you know, Dad had a really successful construction business in San Francisco. And what that meant was a real sacrifice for him of going to work hours away. He would be there all week long. He'd often sleep in his work van and then come back home on Fridays typically. And we'd have the weekend with him. And after this whole week, you know, of work, pretty exhausting work, he would be the first one up in the morning, getting us up for biking, for camping, for playing games. He was always family first. And his energy is just boundless.
My job took me out of Chico. I found there were too many contractors and people wanting to know, you know, how much you made per hour, not how the quality of your work. So I found myself going to San Francisco 3 days a week, and coming home before summer vacation, I was wondering, boy, what can I get the kids to do? They're going to be out of school. How am I going to continue their education? And I got this idea to start a neighborhood newspaper. And so, of course, Anna, the middle child, and I'm also a middle child, I decided to run that by her, and she said, yes, she'd love to be the editor of a local newspaper, and not realizing that my wife's grandfather was also the editor of a newspaper in Sonora, California. So they took it on. They were something like 12, 11, and 10, and they ran a local newspaper called the Carroll Avenue Times, the Cat. So it was a one page, two-sided, and Anna learned an incredible amount of things being the editor of a newspaper. So she would write an editorial every time they put it out. And she got blowback. She got just an incredible amount of people sending letters to her, arguing her editorials. And this is a kid. You got to remember, she was 12 years old. She'd write about this cat having kittens. And she got letters about how inconscionable it was to allow the cat to have kittens, not having the cat fixed. And so she learned a lot about having an opinion and being able to explain your opinion and where it came from. And I didn't realize that they actually used having a newspaper as something they would use to get into college. And all three of them actually did use it, and I think it did help them.
How much of your work and your love for chat, working with families and folks and housing folks, is kind of getting a new family together for yourself?
Well, it was really eye-opening. When I first sat down at the barn in Riparia and listened to what people were saying about chat and basically how I got started, my mother was a taskmaster. She really believed in having a clean house. You could be as poor as dirt, but your house had to be clean. You had to iron the towels and the sheets and the underwear, and you just had to do the best you could do with what you had. And so I felt that I couldn't get involved in the houses and chat because of how my mother lived and what she taught us. about cleanliness and godliness. So I thought, well, you know, I've got a contractor background, so I could help in that vein. I could help with maintenance, and I could help with construction. But, you know, I'm just a sucker for people. And once we went into our first house, Chat 10, a single mother with three kids, and my wife and I were rebuilding the porch, and the middle child came out and knew what a level was. I thought she had to be 10 or 12 years old. She knew horizontal and vertical, and she actually helped us rebuild the porch. And I thought, you know, I can offer something. I don't have to sit here and look at how clean somebody is. The first and most important thing was to just get somebody in a house, and then let's work on all the other things. Let's work on you know, parental guidance, and let's work on financial stability. Let's work on these other things, but let's get somebody in a house first. Let's get them home.
So I'm Carolyn Kernitsky. I'm the third child of Mr. Joy, Mr. Bill Kernitsky, and I am living in Chico, California. You know, he really tried to push all three of us out, not in a bad way, but like the go explore the world sort of way.
Right.
And the other two, like my brother went to Africa in the Peace Corps, my sister made it down to LA and then up to Portland and then landed there. And I never left. And I think he learned to appreciate that just having one of his kids around was kind of nice, actually.
There you go. I love that. That's a good segue into this question I have, is maybe some insights on your dad's love of people and family and how that manifests with his volunteering at CHAT.
Boy, he's just always loved people. His first jobs were sales positions. He actually sold women's shoes when he was like 16 or 17. He was good at it. I mean, he obviously did not wear women's shoes, but could sell them to just about anybody because he was so good with people. And that just continued on, you know, into his sport life, into his business life, into his work life. And, you know, was able to raise a family because he was so good with people. You know, he was an incredible contractor as well, but that was built from his ability to connect with people and his ability to make relationships. He just always loves people. And so that connection with CHAT was really an easy one for him to dive right in and to just help people as soon as he could. You know, he worked out of Chico. So being able to finally give back to the Chico community that helped raise his family here was really, really special for him.
Yeah, it certainly was. It's special for all of us.
Yes.
Just a few minutes, we're going to hear a wonderful clip of your dad loving on Janet, who's in one of the CHAT homes, CHAT number 19. Maybe a little bit of insight into the love and care that your dad shows for people and how it reflects in this clip.
You know, he loves his family and complete strangers alike. He doesn't see a divide there. We're kind of the family of humanity, and that makes him such a perfect fit with CHAT and such an amazing dad and person to know and a person to be close to. He doesn't separate people who don't have homes and people who have homes, or, you know, any sort of category of person you can put a person into. He doesn't see that so much. That's the care he shows to everyone. It's the care he shows to his family. It's the care he shows to neighbors and to complete strangers. He just wants to give and connect, and he loves that connection. He really, really thrives off of it.
Anything else you'd like to share about your dad?
Boy, what a special person. I'm so glad he was finally named Mr. Joy, because I don't know that we quite had a name for it, but Mr. Joy, I think, perfectly encapsulates who he is as a person. He just connects and radiates positivity and happiness, and it's infectious in the best way possible.
He lets you know what he feels, and you know, if his feelings is, hey, you know, you need to sharpen some things up. He's not shy. He's not shy about telling people to sharpen things up.
No, he's not. And I think that makes him very real.
Yes.
You know, he's not someone to beat around the bush or to be here. He connects with people because he's so real, and he tells you how it is. And sometimes that's hard to hear, but it makes you appreciate him. Absolutely.
I have a new nickname for that bridge right there.
I'm sure. Give it to me.
The $10 bridge.
That's good.
Do you get it?
Yeah. I get it.
I
now, how did you know that? Oh,
that.
You were there.
I was there!
You were there.
And I made that joke. I was like, with Trouch. Bill Karninsky put back the
homeless person giving us money.
He got him so agitated, he came back with a $10 bribe. Yeah, I was there.
Oh, the stories, Bill.
The stories. They're like, what do you mean the thing's not in the water? It's floating down the creek. And you're like, you were awesome.
Man, some of these people.
On it.
Some of these people are like, what is this guy? Nobody talks to us like this. We're homeless, man. Give us a break.
All right, that short clip you just heard was on a ride along with Mr. Joy in early September as he made his rounds to the different chat houses. And just a bit of clarification, Bill and I were doing a chat / mutual aid cleanup, creek cleanup this summer, and we went to one of the more notorious bridges in Chico that at the time was inhabited by hoarders. Bill had a F-bomb heart-to-heart with a man under the bridge as his girlfriend's campmate was leaving. She came back towards the end of our escapades cleaning up the bridge area and caught the tail end of Bill's stern coaching. Riding up on her bike, she apologized and offered Bill a $10 donation for chat. Bill told her to go give it to someone who needed it. She rode off, returning roughly 5 minutes later, saying she had given the $10 away. Back in early October, Bill scrounged a blanket for a houseless guy on a bike outside their warehouse near the Jesus Center. As he gave it to him, he started drilling him on whether he had given him a blanket just a few days ago, as he looked just like that guy. Although he said no, Bill continued to push for accountability and was like, don't be looking for another blanket, man. Hold on to that one. I added some brevity when I interjected, Bill's just doing his job as the blanket logistics manager for chat. Raucous laughter ensued. Just a few minutes before, Mr. Joy and his best chat buddy, Bob Trouche, were teaming up on a chat house resident who had lied to them about breaking a window. The basic drill was just own your stuff and don't lie to us because we ain't gonna take it. Indeed. Our next audio snippet was from the same ride-along as we visited chat house number 19 and neighbored with Janet, the house mother. Yes. I'm here with Bill Karninsky, board president of chat at one of their homes, and I'm here with this wonderful woman. You have such a wonderful smile and a presence about you. What's your name?
Janet.
Welcome to KZFR. We're doing a triumph of joy. I'm calling him Mr. Joy. Mr. Joy. He likes that. You can tell. He's got a joyful look when we call him Mr. Joy. But, you know, how much joy have you been gaining from, you know, being housed through the Chico Housing Action Team Housing Now program?
I've been putting a lot of things together here, and it's been great. Mm-hmm. And we're really becoming a team, living in this house and getting together and doing things together. So it's been good.
How many people are living here?
We've got 5 people.
Uh-huh.
And we've really went in and decided to make our place a family, mm-hmm, instead of just individuals. And it's really been super. Everything's coming together.
That's the word I'd like to use, family.
Family and super goes good.
Yeah, super family.
Super family.
So it's two-story. We have people living downstairs in the basement.
Uh-huh.
And Janet sort of has become the house mother. And she's mowing the backyard.
We're going to make some differences out here, even in the yard. I'm going to get some chips and lay chips down. We're just going to get it looking like a regular home.
Yeah. How long have you been living here?
About 3 months.
Nice. What was your situation before that, if you don't mind sharing with our listeners?
I was at Motel 6. I'd been through an abusive situation, and so I came here.
Any closing comments?
No, I just think chat's a great program, and I think more people ought to get involved, people in the city as far as sponsoring the program, and more people getting together and becoming the sense of family instead of just people renting a room, people working together, making it a better place for everyone.
Well, what about you, Mr. Joy? How much joy are you getting about how many stories are very similar and yet not? Everyone's situation's unique, you know?
It really is, Bill. It's house to house. It's person to person. And for me, it's just an inner joy. My parents never taught me to give back. They were Russian immigrants that came here, you know, not speaking the language, and just trying to make their way. And it took my kids to show me the light, uh-huh, and to say, hey, Dad, you know, You need to step up. You need to do something. Uh-huh. And I found actually Charles planting trees, and so he got me planting some trees around town. And then it was like, you know, my real love is tiny houses. So you know this group called Chat, and here I am.
Well, you were in construction business, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so maintenance is an easy thing. But there's a lot of trauma involved in homelessness. Yeah. And it takes a while for people to gain trust. It's baby steps. And once you get there, it's a great feeling. It's a wonderful feeling.
I could see you had something to add when he said trauma. Like you really connected with that. What were you thinking?
Trauma. It's a really strange thing. One day you can be in one position and the next day be in another. And you never think you're going to be in that place. And I'm just so grateful that they came along and they accepted me and brought me in and gave me a place to stay. And I'm very grateful. And I think it's a wonderful program. And more people need to get involved mm-hmm. in the city with supporting this program. Mm-hmm. It's
volunteers.
Awesome.
Volunteers. It's all about volunteers. Yep.
Yes.
Yep. We actually started hiring people. But, you know, it's not the same thing. I don't need to get paid uh-huh. to do this. I mean, I'm lucky. I've had a good life. And I put enough away to be comfortable. And so now I just want to give back, you know, to people like
Wonderful.
Janet. Yeah.
After our interview, Bill and Janet immediately began problem-solving an issue as if they had been working together for years. When we jumped back in Mr. Joy's truck, he recognized and praised the good karma and energy Janet brings to her group living-style home. It was unscripted, sheer gratitude, which is a beautiful thing to behold. Mr. Joy's story continues with Anna's joyful retelling of her dad's first visit to her workplace, the Community Warehouse, a nonprofit furniture bank serving those in need in the general Portland, Oregon area, where she serves as the development director. Like father, like daughter. Beautiful.
I think the first time they ever came to Community Warehouse, so picture a big warehouse, lots of furniture and household items and trucks kind of moving in and out, donating, people coming by, lots of chaos. And my dad came in, and before anyone even had a chance to meet him, he saw that there's a truck unloading stuff, and he was grabbing a mattress and moving it and pulling boxes in and helping out. And I saw some of my staff members like, who is that guy? Is he a volunteer? What is he doing? And he found a box that he brought to the back that had roller skates in it. And he exclaimed, like, these are my size, and put them on right away and promptly was roller skating around the warehouse. And my coworker was like, Anna, I think there's a drunk guy in the warehouse. I'm pretty sure, you know, we have to get this guy out. I was like, oh no, that's my dad. And he's not drunk. That's just him living in the moment. And everybody loved him. That was the joy he brought to the warehouse that day.
So my daughter brought a guy that was working with her at the Community Warehouse. This guy's never had a tie on, never had a collared shirt on. She brought him for Thanksgiving, and he came into our family, didn't know how to swim. My mother-in-law taught him how to swim uh-huh. in the week that he was with us. I taught him how to tie a tie, and he wore a collared shirt and a tie to her Thanksgiving. This big, giant black guy.
Uh-huh.
Who's been through the foster care system. He's been sexually abused. He's been beaten. He was part of a family of 12. They just did foster care for money.
Yeah, which is common.
Which is common. You know, and this guy had the greatest attitude. I'm like, you should hate the world. You should be, you know, it's not normal to be as happy as you are and to be as open as you are. You know, so he didn't want to talk.
Yeah.
So I started telling him about my days in Chicago and I went through as a kid and all the craziness, my family breaking up, my dad working nights, so I had nobody looking over me.
All right.
So I was the wild child in the neighborhood, man. We did everything. I mean, the shit that we did, Bill, was just, I'm surprised I'm not, so, you know, getting out of Chicago was the best thing that could have happened to me.
So you're just a different version of a wild child in the neighborhood now. What do you say?
Yeah, but I get it. You know, I get it. I grew up inner city, and I grew up in, you know, the high school, the second high school I went to was basically 90% black, 10% Puerto Rican, and then there was me. That was it, man. I didn't go to the bathroom for 4 years because I knew I'd get knifed. They did locker searches. They always found knives, guns. They found a bomb. They found a fucking bomb once.
This is in Chicago?
Yes, Chicago. This is 1968. This is a Democratic convention.
Yeah.
You know, it was just, it's a crazy time.
Up next, the final clips from my Chico ride-along with Mr. Joy as he drives from chat house to chat house on a smoky Saturday in early September.
Bill's driving us around and talking about the different houses.
Just a drive-by. Yeah. Jeff, this is Bill Mash.
How are you, Jeff?
All right, how are you?
He's a volunteer with KZFR, the radio station.
Oh, yeah?
So he's doing a show called Triumph of Joy. I don't know why he wants to include me, but...
Oh, you're just a joy. Well, don't let me spoil your day.
Too late. So he's the house mother. So we've lost four people in that house. I had to break in. The last one was here. I got a call from Sheldon, and Jeff was worried. He was saying that guy's not answering his door, his bike's here, something's up. It was Aaron. I don't know if you knew Aaron. He was pretty famous around. He's kind of like a Jasper. So Sheldon calls me and says, you know, can you help me get in? And we, of course, didn't have a key for his door. Each bedroom has their own lock. So I tried to jimmy the door, no going. And so I went through the window, and he's gone. He's passed away. And he's right at the edge of the door here, at the edge of the window. Uh-huh. And I could see him.
You could see him before you went in?
Before I went in, so I didn't go in. Call the cops, and then the cops are grilling me. Where do you live? What's your phone number? What's your social security number? How many kids do you have? You know. And I'm like, okay, for one thing, take off your sunglasses if you're going to talk to me. He's got mirrored glasses on, flat top, big-fucking dude. You know, I said, am I under arrest? You know, I'm the one that called you. You know, this is one of our houses. And why are you grilling me like I'm guilty or something? You know,
I said, you got... How did he respond?
He took his glasses off.
But did he become a little more friendly? Or
a little bit. but it, you know, I didn't expect him to with the way I was just like full of it. I'm through. He's like, you know, but he took off his glasses. He's like, you know, he didn't say I'm sorry, but he chilled out, man. I was surprised. And it was like, you know, listen, you know, this is all new for me. I I'm not used to finding dead bodies, you know, and this guy and Jeff has been here since day one. So he's seen the people pass. We've actually had a house clearing. We brought Kim in here and we brought a Dan Suzuki. Uh-huh. And they did a house cleaning. You know, they did some chanting and some aww, sage work and stuff.
That's beautiful.
And it was pretty cool. Jeff was part of it too, and it was pretty awesome. And then John just passed away. He's the latest, and so I had a really long talk with him before he passed away. Just about 70. He made 70.
He beat the odds.
But this guy was a super athlete.
Yeah.
He's in the.
Surfing Hall of Fame. So we've had him on the radio before. Yeah,
that's the guy. Yeah. Yep. John.
John. That was Jake Davis's dad.
Yep. You got it.
Yeah.
Yep. And
Shout out to Jake Davis.
This I'd like to buy this, Bill.
What are we looking at?
This is the church. This is it.
Buying a church.
This is church.
Is this like on your bucket list? Buying a church.
Look at this. Look at this property, Bill. 2 acres here. This is huge.
Yeah. Building together in love. That's what it said, too. The sign said building together in love.
I'm Mash here, and, you know, Mr. Triumph of Joy here, Bill Kerninsky, had this wonderful look on his face. We pulled over to a location that won't be disclosed here in Chico. But tell us about Hush Housing, Bill Kerninsky.
So Hush is a program that we started just about a year ago. We've got this amazing grant that came in that was available to us, and it was to house approximately 12 families that were in crisis. We were getting them out of the Torres shelter and also out of the Jesus Center. And again, the wraparound services, we're able to hire someone full-time to help the 12 families navigate the system. This particular family, the husband decided to go back to school, and so he's going to Butte. It's a young family. They're so young, they're so new at this whole thing that I think they're overwhelmed by it all. But putting them in housing, stabilizing them. Every time we come over, we deliver food once a week.
Yeah, they were delivering food when we pulled up.
That's the reason. One of the reasons we did pull up. And this is care of Trader Joe's. We do this. Well, now it's bi-monthly, just because we're up to 60 houses, and it's been. We don't have enough volunteers.
You know what I'm hoping, Bill Kerninsky?
What are you hoping?
Within 5 years, Chad is the biggest landlord in Chico. They have more leases than anybody. Wouldn't that be fun?
But that's really it. We're getting there. Okay,
he's got this big old joyful smile on his face.
Well, you're talking. You know, over 60 houses and over 150 people. I mean, that's pretty amazing for a small nonprofit. Somebody said we're scrappy. We're scrappy.
You're scrappy and then some.
Yeah.
That's what I would
say. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot here. Again, we put them in housing. We give them wraparound services. We try to help them with negotiating, family things, finding different sources of income to help them out, because they have to come up with 30% of their income. We're supplementing that income. We've got him started in school. He had all A's and B's. He's running track. It's just incredible. And every time we come here, he's so thankful.
In the interview, I just have to interject. My mom had three kids before she was 21 as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So, that I can't imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to wait till I was 40 before I had my head together. So this is Chat 9.
Chat 9.
This is one of the bad houses.
Bad as in?
As in trouble. It takes a huge amount of energy.
Yeah, I'm looking at a bunch of trash in a trailer out here.
Yep. And they may take the oldest kid away.
Oh, is this a family in here?
Yeah, it's a family with a brother, three kids. She hasn't paid rent in 6 months.
How do you guys manage that? You just kind of...
Not easily.
Not easily. That's a really good answer.
Yep. So she's 6,000 in the hole. Old Chat 10. He is 10,000 in the hole. Yeah. And you can't evict them, and can't make them pay. So we're stuck. We're
so
stuck.
That's another reason you have to do a really good job when you.
So she showed up all dressed to the nines. Her husband was molesting the two oldest girls in Mendocino. I mean, she had quite a story. I'm ready to go to work. I'm ready to become a member of society. Isn't that? She moved in. That was it. That was the end. Her oldest daughter's was 14 and already developed, already was wearing real skimpy clothes. You know, it's like, Jesus, man, they need help. So we've already got Far Northern and a bunch of other people on this thing. I mean, there's rats running around.
God.
You're sitting there and a rat runs across the kitchen counter
through
the dishes that's in that house. In the chat house. Yeah, we've done everything. I mean, we've got people in there, and it's just like they're just not keeping up with their cleanliness. You know, they're leaving food on the counters. I mean, they're making it so the kid looks over and he goes, "Oh, that's just a rat." And I'm like, "What the seeing a rat run across the kitchen counter is like a normal thing? This is not normal. I'm setting traps all over the place. I said three traps and I caught five rats.
Wow.
I set three traps and I caught, there were two and two. So we got the bug guy, Dominic, over here every week setting stuff, but they're not keeping clean. And there's nothing I could, can do about it.
It's important to keep biological families together at all costs.
Absolutely.
Right?
Not at all costs. If there's sexual aberration, if you're beating them.
Yeah, not including that.
It was as if Bill knew everyone on our drive-by route, effortlessly engaging with house residents and volunteers alike. Mr. Joy didn't do small talk. He connected on a personal level with an ease honed from decades of experience as a contractor, father, and loving dad. It was indeed a joy to behold. The Triumph of Joy made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Friends of the Arts, your state local partner to the California Arts Council since 2001. Friends of the Arts creates economic opportunity by producing and supporting events and by publishing a bi-monthly arts and culture newsletter. To stay in the know or have your event listed, visit friendsof.art. Also made possible by Dahlmeier Insurance Agency, an independent agent and retail broker since 1948. Dahlmeier Insurance provides a range of coverage options from home and auto insurance to farm and ranch coverage. You can reach Dahlmeier Insurance in Chico at 342-6421 and in Orville at 533-3424 or visit them, chicoinsurance.com. Mr. Joy's story continues now with Anna, describing growing up with her parents and siblings in Chico, California.
Maybe some insights on how big your family was. How many other brothers and sisters?
Yeah, so I have an older brother and a younger sister, the three siblings, and we're all very close in age. We were all, for most of the time growing up, we were kind of what we had. We spent a lot of time together because when Dad was home on the weekends, that was family time. And so where, maybe a lot of kids were hanging out with all their friends, we were spending time with the family and getting really close. And one thing I remember really well was when my siblings and I would fight, and as we all do, and really get into it. I remember my dad sitting us down and saying, someday we're not going to be here. Mom and Dad, we're not going to be here. And someday, your friends, they'll come and go throughout your life. Everyone will come and go throughout your life, but you will always, always have your siblings. They will always be here for you, and you will always be here for them. And that really reinforced, wow, for us, each other, and the importance of family. That has always stayed with me. Just having a really tight family unit, and he loves that. And yeah, it's part of his love for just bringing people together.
I have the visual in my head, actually. I want to send you the picture. It's a beautiful photo. I sent it to your dad, maybe print. But I was at the Ruth Bader Ginsburg vigil, and he was there with Mrs. Joy, your mom. Kim, she was behind him, just hugging him. And I put Kim keeping her hubby in focus. And the whole metaphor behind every good man, or in this case, behind every joyous man, is a joyous woman. Maybe you shed some light on the relationship between your dad and your mom and how beautiful a human she is as well.
Sure. Oh my gosh. Yeah, my mom and my dad's relationship, I always, growing up, to me, they were opposites in a way. My mom was she's very intellectual, very thoughtful, very, prudent, and just wicked smart, good at everything she does. That's something that they definitely have in common.
Yeah.
But Dad, is impulsive and out there and outgoing and just over the top positive, and he's spontaneous and reactive and energetic. And so to me, they were opposites, and I was always really proud to have parents that seemingly couldn't be anything like each other, but had a very deep appreciation and love for what the other brought to the table. And they were a great team. I couldn't remember seeing any of my friends' parents jump and help someone else, rewire the electric in their house and then go play volleyball in the backyard and do an art project. And it was like they could do anything together. And yeah, they, definitely have, just like anyone, have their differences. And for being so different, the fact that they can connect and appreciate each other so well. Yeah, I think my parents are also affectionate people, and the photo that you captured of them embracing each other, and I always felt like they weren't afraid to show everybody how much they loved each other, and that was something that I was really proud of as a kid too.
Kim, tell us a bit about the joy you bring to Bill and the joy that Bill brings to you.
You're talking about a marriage, and marriages are complicated. There's a joy in all kinds of subtle ways that we don't really think about all the time. We've been together for a few years, so we just kind of make do and joy. The guy's all about joy, actually. Laughs a lot, teases a lot, jokes a lot, likes to say things that makes him laugh and makes others laugh. My form of joy is appreciating the jokes, laughing.
Yeah, he's a joke teller.
Yeah, and he says the same jokes over and over again, and I kind of have to laugh inside at that.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. I do the same.
But how do you think you bring joy to Bill specifically? What is it about you that you think makes Mr. Joy even more joyful?
Actually, it's interesting because we are a bit opposite in our characters, and the way I bring joy is actually probably bringing stability and recognizing his true strengths. And so I think I bring those out so that he has the freedom and exercises his joy without feeling like, oh, I'm doing this to please somebody else. Or
so you let Bill be Bill?
I kind of let Bill be Bill.
Yeah, yeah.
And he understands that, I think. he stretches it a bit, takes advantage of it when he can, and it happens. But, you know.
What's your response to all that, Bill? Mr. Kaninsky?
When Kim talks about joy, I think about the outdoors. I love the outdoors, but I was always been a city kid, Chicago, L.A., San Francisco, and knew innately that nature was a big part of me, but I never really was able to open those wings in that direction. And Kim really showed me the light there. And then her family is all about being in the outdoors, as rough as you could imagine. So her dad was a fly fisherman, a hunter, and backpacker, and so we took that mantle and ran with it. And the kids never had a chance. They were doing a wildflower at 10 years old. They were backpacking and just doing all those things. And so a big part of my joy comes from that. But like Kim was saying, she's the stability that I really never had, having my parents split when I was fairly young and not having any discipline. My dad worked nights, so I was just wild and crazy in the big city.
So you introduced him to backpacking, Kim? How long did it take him to catch on?
Actually, he's a quick learner.
He's a quick learner?
Yeah. Okay. He still has his challenges being comfortable in the woods. For me, it's pretty natural. It's the bears, wild things. Yeah, they're out there, but I don't feel like that's something to be afraid of. I feel like it's just we coexist in nature. It's just there, and I love the outdoors. It's my healing place.
What's some of the joyful lessons you both have learned together?
Joyful lessons we've learned together. We had a lot rather long courtship. We met in 1980. We ended up marrying in 89. No, 87.
Somewhere around there. Somewhere 80s.
We had her.
But you guys are so comfortable with your marriage.
It's tough because we're so different. You know, it's you have to figure out if they work, if we can work together. So we tried things. We backpacking. We traveled in Europe together before we were dating. That was interesting. We met playing volleyball. I think you know that the Marina Green in San Francisco.
We bought a house together before we were married.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized very quickly that Kim, she's tough. But she could go out dressed beautifully and go out and have a nice time on the town. And she could also wear her dungarees and pick up a pickaxe and go to work. So it was like, wow. You know, the best of both worlds. She's a worker and she can enjoy a night out. So I was like, this is like the best of all worlds. So I better snag this one because she's, if I lose her, I'm going to be in trouble.
Yeah. I saw that twinkle in your eye every time you were kind of talking about Kim.
Little
twinkle. It's twinkle. You like his twinkle, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely has a twinkle.
So it was.
I like his voice, too.
He's got a good voice.
As long as it doesn't get projected too loudly over the airwaves.
It does happen.
So if you could pick maybe one thing that you wouldn't change for anything about your relationship, what would that be?
When we are being magically simpatico.
Magically simpatico. Wow.
I think, the time we play together, the time, even today, our youngest daughter, who's still in Chico, on Fridays we go to 20th Street Park and set up a volleyball net, and we continue to play volleyball. Sometimes doubles, sometimes threes or fours. And it's still fun. it's still fun after, you know, close to 40 years.
You're stretching that, Bill.
Well, as long as we stay on opposite sides of the net.
There we go.
I'm seeing what she does during the marriage.
There she is.
Stability.
Put my feet in the fire again, Bill.
Why don't we close with a little comments about your family, your kids?
Being in San Francisco and having the kids become school age and coming to Chico to visit, I realized how incredibly important it was to live in a smaller, slower-paced town, and that I knew I'd have to really kind of get out of my comfort zone coming to Chico, but I knew how important it would be to come here for the kids. It meant the world to me to have them close to either my mom, not my parents, or Kim's parents, and they were both educators, and we were a block away from them, and it was...
Oh, really?
Just, yeah.
You were a block away?
They're just down the street.
He pointed right to where they were running.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was, you know, they wore the sidewalk out going over there in the summer. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, well, it was interesting because the first two immediately took to their father because he was a lot of fun. But the third one came along, and she was pretty much attached to my leg. Bill has been and always was a great dad to the kids. Always gave 110%. Yeah, you know, he had moments when he was giving for himself, which is fine. You know, they all shared in his joy. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of, you know, he'd come up with an idea of a neighborhood newspaper. I think we talked about that
before. Carroll Times. Yeah.
Carroll Avenue Times. You know, he came up with the idea, but, and he was the cheerleader for it. But when it came down to doing the work of getting it done. You know, the editor at that age needs somebody to kind of look over them. Yeah. Otherwise, Grandma and Grandpa would not hear the kids would not hear the end of it from Grandma and Grandpa on some of the mistakes that they would have made. So I had to help clear things up a little bit, and you know, get the computer operational and access resource and teach them and guide them. So. Yeah,
so that's good work. That's the team part.
Yeah, that's the team part. We all kind of participate in our own.
The me and team.
Yeah, the me and team. I like that. So, was there anything that you were thinking you wanted to say that you haven't already had a chance to say?
Bill is an interesting person. I've heard people say that I'm a saint to put up with him because he's such a big personality. And I agree with them, but I also agree that it's really that joy. And I think that it is well placed or put in terms of the triumph of joy. He makes things happen with his exuberance, and it's marvelous. It brings good fortune. It brings a sense of stable instability. It's kind of a weird thing, but there's an instableness with his... you just never know what he's going to say next and how it's going to go and where it plays out. But inevitably, he changes people for the better. And I think that's a really great quality that I admire about him. It brings joy to my heart that he can bring joys to others.
Yeah, you know, you never get a chance to talk about things like this. You know, that it's always kind of...
Look, he's going to cry.
He's full on.
He would know. Anyone would know. That would be
kind of... Just go on and do your thing, you know. And you don't really, you know... I was talking to one of our participants in the chat house, and he was saying he did some cleanup in the house, and he didn't get any... Nobody said thank you. Nobody went out of their way. And I said, why were you doing this? Were you doing this for yourself? Or were you doing this for others to pat you on the back? And I said, if you're waiting for somebody to pat you on the back, you could wait a long time and you could be disappointed. And instead, clean up because you want to do it. Because it makes you feel good, you know, at the end of the day. And I said, no, I don't have people thanking me day in, day out for, you know, the housing, you know, 200 people. And that's, I don't really need that. I mean, you know, every dog deserves a pet. But, you know, I do this because it's the right thing to do and it makes me feel good.
And if I could bring a little joy to someone's life, you know, that's so much the better. So
it seems
I want to thank you too, Bill, and Casey, if I've put this together. It's sweet to hear, you know, my kids saying sweet things. So
Well,
I don't usually get that.
I had a kernel there, and I thought it was interesting how you said it was the right thing to do, and it makes you feel good, kind of like your marriage.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Right thing to do.
Right thing to do. All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Bill.
We did a photo shoot after our interview with Bill and Kim looking through their album of Carroll Avenue Times issues. Kim had the wonderful idea of finding a special article to read as she skimmed through the pages. Mr. Joy, who had places to go and people to see, was a tad restless initially at the time ticking away, scrutinizing back issues. His restlessness quickly evaporated as he and Kim melted into the paper and ink memories of a family endeavor that shaped their family in ways they were rediscovering, standing together over their kitchen table. I made note afterwards that the patience and care Kim brought to the photo shoot, contrasted by what certainly would have been grab one issue, smile and hustle out the door if it had been just Bill and I left to our own devices, Kim added something special in this endeavor. Her capacity to focus and take it all in. It was a sweet thing to witness what was certainly one of the most endearing and bonding aspects of their marriage. Next up is Xander, Mr. Joy's oldest child, reflecting on how his dad cultivated his love for the great outdoors.
Yeah, I think, you know, my dad touched on it in the interview, his being kind of raised in a lot of city environments and, you know, going from Chicago to LA to San Francisco. As he progressed through these different stages of life, he found himself gravitating more and more towards the outdoors. And I think when you naturally kind of love something and gravitate towards something, I think that energy really rubs off on the people around you. And I think that's part of what makes him such an interesting person and a joyous person, is this energy that he's able to share with others. And yeah, you know, from a very young age, we were going on fishing trips up in Northern California, up in Oregon, and camping trips, backpacking, you know, as they mentioned in that interview, going on bike rides. And you know, it wasn't just, you know, going and doing the wildflower. It was prepping. It was every Friday riding up Humboldt. I have very distinct memories of kind of the pain and agony of that. But, you know, it's a character builder, too, in a sense. Learning that sense of what your body can do and perseverance. And he, you know, he taught by doing these things and then sharing the energy, the excitement of doing them.
How much did that mean to you? And now that you can look back some many years later?
You know, it's never something that you enjoy at the time. And, you know, I think he recognized that it was something that we were going to look back on a lot more fondly than we looked on it at the time. And it's true. I think, you know, these experiences, you know, made my sisters who we are today. And knowing what we can, like, physically put ourselves through, I think it makes you a stronger person. And yeah, and you know, for the love of the outdoors, you know, going out and fishing and doing these activities and being comfortable in the outdoors, you know, knowing that I can avoid getting lost, and I know some basic survival skills, and you know, all these kinds of things, they kind of open your horizons and make expand what's possible for us as people. And I think that was huge. I mean, it's something that, you know, I take with me to this day. I worked in Yosemite National Park for a summer, and you know, I never would have been able to do that without those experiences that he gave me of the outdoors. You know, I'm still excited to go backpacking and go fishing, and I'm living in Wyoming now, so it's nothing but outdoors. So you can tell something rubbed off on me.
Yeah, you know, what I've found through doing this project this summer, Xander, is, you know, without the pain and struggle, the joy wouldn't be quite as grand, would it?
It's true. It's true. It's like, yeah, I think you do take the joy, it leaves a stronger mark, and you realize to appreciate it a lot more.
We end our Mr. Joy segment with Ali Battaglia, local musician, etheric healing practitioner, ascension guide, and counselor, as she reflects on Bill and Kim's interview and the joy she had writing Evaporate, a relationship song she wrote specifically for Mr. Joy's segment.
All right, Guillermo Mash here. Just pausing for a second to listen to this beautiful background noise. Lower Bidwell Park, right near Big Chico Creek. Sounds beautiful. And I'm here with someone else that's beautiful, not just the nature, but we have Ali Battaglia. Welcome to KZFR, Ali Battaglia.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm really excited about doing this interview with you around the Triumph of Joy. It's a wonderful song, that relationship song. Maybe a little backstory on that, maybe some insights on what you thought about Bill Kerninsky and Kim's relationship.
I found it refreshing how authentic they were.
Yeah.
I think that that really, really is the most powerful way to reach people, is to be in our authenticity. And inspired me, because when you first said to pick a song, I thought through all my songs and I was just like, I couldn't find one. I had some ideas going for a new song, and so I put them all together, and so I was inspired to actually write a new one for this, which is awesome.
And you just finished it last night.
Yep.
Right? Wow.
In the next 7 days, I want you to leave this place. And you will look at me that way, but I cannot let you fall. When you ask me, your heart cry, your soul scream, tears streaming. We hold you in this place, beauty kissing the face of every winter. Shallow end.
When you say, go softly. When you say, stay away from there. Stay away.
Much gratitude to the Kuninsky family for their sparkling participation in our audio story and for entrusting me to tell it. And thank you all for listening this evening. Please, oh please, consider Janet's recommendation to get involved with Chico Housing Action Team by visiting their website at chicohousingactionteam.net. Au revoir, everyone. And always remember, if you have a roof, be grateful. The Triumph of Joy made possible by the generous contributions of our KZFR supporters and by Baker's Birkenstock. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for in-store shopping. Face masks, social distancing, and sanitized hands are required. There's also curbside pickup available by calling either Chico or Paradise locations. Details on Facebook at BirkenstockChico.com or 345-4880. Also made possible by the Members First Credit Union, created by the community for the community. Members First is a member-owned, not-for-profit financial institution providing checking, savings, loans, and credit cards to residents of Butte, Glen, Shasta, and Tehama counties. For more information, visit m1cu.org.
You are listening to FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. It is 7 o'clock on a Thursday night, November 8th. 8th? Now I have to remember. Oops. 8th is Sunday. Sorry. It's November 5th. Didn't lose any days. And this is your groovy grandma doing Beatle Nation. Let's see. Beatle Nation is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the printed image, providing screen printing and embroidery in Chico since 1980. The printed image is open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and also by appointment. More info by calling